The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. Become a part of the best wrestling community on the internet by joining our patron-only Discord. It's never super packed. You can always talk to your good brothers and sisters as you enjoy the wrestling you love to enjoy. Go ahead and check it out. patreon.com/1900wrestling.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Oh, hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are back! Back live on a Monday talking wrestling. I'm not in Japan. There's no holidays to stand in our way. We are finally kicking off 2018 the way that you know 2018 deserves to be kicked off, and that is with me and Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm fantastic. I'm a giant on the screen. People are watching the video. You know what I do? I bring, here you go. I got a little treat for you.
I am just kind of a parrot on the shoulder of Willie Dills Gregory here in this shot. We had some last minute tinkering that had to happen, but I'll try to get it fixed. I think I figured out a way to fix it. But hey, Willie, how have things been? I haven't talked to you in forever.
Things have been fantastic. The wrestling has been fantastic. Everything about it, I've been really having a lot of fun with lately. And I will also say this though.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, the quality of wrestling that's out there in the world right now kind of messed my life up for a little bit there, because I stayed up two nights in a row until 8:30 or 9 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
Watching Japanese wrestling.
Yeah,
and then trying to get my schedule back on, I almost felt like, you know, I got the jet lag just with you. You know, I mean, I'm sure the schedule must have screwed you up coming back, because what, 15 hour difference or something like that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, here in America, we tried. Actually, the first okay. So for Wrestle Kingdom,
yeah,
we got to talk about it a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yeah,
point.
Yeah. Let's get right in.
Trey Warren, Mr. Melodica himself.
Yeah.
Tried to stay up and watch the whole thing, and we're both kind of falling asleep during the Suzuki match.
Oh, and wow. So you were right in the middle of it. Like, that's a yeah. daunting place, because you still have so much wrestling to go from that Suzuki match on.
And so much wrestling that I was like really excited to see too.
Yeah.
So I noticed that Trey was kind of he was fading. I realized that I had at one point during the match had probably closed my eyes for a second. And so then I'm like, okay, Trey, I'm tapping out. I'm going to go home. Like, I don't want to drive home when the sun's up either. This is better. So I get home and I drive, and I'm driving, and there's nobody on the road, obviously. It's like 4:30 in the morning. And it takes me no time at all to get home. So I get home. I'm like, all right, let me see if I can, you know, I'll throw this on as I fall asleep, right?
Yeah.
And then it was the fatal four-way match for the junior, the IGPW junior heavyweight,
gotcha,
what do
yes,
they call it? Yeah, junior
so
heavyweight title.
Yeah, so Kushida, Skrull, Ospreay, and Takahashi,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And that woke me right the fuck up.
Oh my god, so. Yeah. That is no jive, man. And you want to know what? The weird thing is, in the arena, that was one of the only matches that, although I appreciated and I loved, it was the only one that I was like, man, I think I've just seen so much. The level of excellence for that kind of match, for that kind mm-hmm. of like big, flippy, super fast, super smooth, like in an era where
just spot after spot after
just
spot,
spot after spot after spot. I mean, when you've seen Ricochet live, you know, repeatedly, and you've seen Ospreay live, and you've seen so many of these guys, it's just I feel like it's the only genre of wrestling that my brain has started to like go slightly numb to, because the excellence is so regular.
Well,
right?
It's I mean, I guess you could say that it's maybe similar to something like, you know, if you watch Steph Curry for a long time, something, you're like, oh yeah, he made it again, okay. Because yeah, the first time you witness something like that, it's incredible, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, but, yeah. But, and there's never a moment where you look at that and say, this is not among the most impressive things I have ever seen in my entire life, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I was watching that match, and yeah, there's definitely times where if you've seen like Ospreay Ricochet once,
yeah.
Like, the second time, what are they gonna do? That's not kind of what they did the first time, which is like getting all their shit in, right?
Yeah.
But it's like it's a treat for the people who haven't seen it every time, and it's a treat to see again because they still are like amazing at it, and somehow they never screw up any of the stuff that's incredibly hard. But what this match had to me, though, was a nice mix, right?
Yeah.
Of a bunch of flippy shit, brutality. I mean, they were power bombing each other off of the apron onto the floor over, and each person took one of those. We had, you know, Ospreay jumping off of scaffolding, essentially. We had spots that I had not seen these people do, and the efficiency and like it's just. The timing of everything was so damn perfect. It was so impressive that I was not ever like, you know, when you watch that stuff, you can easily sit there and Jim Cornette it, right? And just be like, this is stupid. Why would anybody do this in a fight?
Yeah.
But when I was watching it, that all kind of dissipated. And I was just watching a bunch of people do crazy. Like, it just felt like they were all just trying to kill each other to me. And that's how you want that flippy shit.
Well, and you want to know what? I really think that Skrull is maybe the best kind of foil for Ospreay right now, because he's not a super gigantic. I mean, he's acrobatic, right? But the point of Marty Skrull is not his backhand spring, attack, yeah. Right?
He adds the other element to that match, which is, you know, somebody who's going to, you know, break everybody's fingers and
exactly, you know,
and do some power moves and things like that. He's kind of the perfect extra guy to have in the ring with.
He was,
you know, three guys who are kind of high flyers.
And the idea of him being the reason why Takahashi wasn't in the majority of the match, and then him breaking out in the final minute and you know, wreaking havoc. It was great, man. It was amazing. All right, well, here, I'll tell you what. Do we want to just go through Wrestle Kingdom
I don't think we need to go through the whole thing, but I do want
to.
I want to talk about like a couple of matches. I think at least.
All right.
Because yeah. I want to just hear about your experience.
Yeah. Well, here, let me. Can I tell you a few
Tokyo Dome?
Yeah, can I tell you a few cool things about the Tokyo Dome?
Sure. Yes.
Number one, Tokyo Dome, and Kurikan Hall, where they ran New Year's Dash, and we saw DDT the night before, are literally in the same complex. I didn't realize that.
Okay.
It's like, that's like the smaller venue. Also, Kurikan Hall, tiny, it's basically what I would probably most liken for like an elementary school auditorium. That's basically the size of Kurikan Hall.
Is the Tokyo Dome itself though? Is that like? I thought I saw something where it was like Tokyo Dome Village or something like that. Is it like going to like, just a massive complex where there's just stores and cafes and restaurants
and a TGI Fridays, which was just just swarmed by all the American marks. I actually sat there.
There
for
were
a lot
of Americans there, by the way. You kept seeing them in the shots of the show.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Okay, so things that happen in Japan that don't happen in the United States. You are allowed to, if not encouraged, to bring your own food. You go get food, and then you just bring it in to the Tokyo Dome. So there's this lady next to me who's eating some stank ass seafood, like the entire Wrestle Kingdom. It was seaweed, actually. Just like every once in a while, I'd be like, "Man, is that seaweed?" And I'd look over, and this lady was just munching out. Number two, they don't care about alcohol in the way that America does. Like, there's no point in which you were not allowed to buy alcohol. They had just a lady with like a kegerator backpack that was just filling up your glass. They also, another thing in Japan, highballs are a huge thing, but it's specifically just whiskey and club soda. And so they will get you highballs.
Rather than just everybody just drinking beer and then maybe taking a shot or something, the people are drinking cocktails.
Yes, drinking cocktails. Shots, not that big of a thing out there. Yeah. It is its own. There's a whole other show to be done.
They do sake shots culture, though, right? Like,
You do not shoot sake. You do not shoot sake. That's not a thing that's done. No, I've done it my entire life. But no, that is not. You sip sake in the tiny little glasses. Here's the other reason why
Yeah, as an American, I was thrown off by the tiny little glass.
But that's the thing. Everything's tiny little in Japan. So it's just a traditional kind of glass, but that's not that weird because all the glasses are tiny, right?
Yeah.
So the crowd, and I would encourage anybody who did not listen to our audio documentary, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, Willie, but
I did. I turned it over a little bit, but I haven't listened to its entirety.
Just compare it to our WrestleMania documentary or our Royal
Rumble.
The
ambiance is completely different.
It's insane. It's like I'm talking into just a large, I'm just in a large echoey room for half of it because the crowd, it is not just your television. It is not just the reputation. It is silent during so much of the action,
It's like a slow build, though.
Oh, my God.
What I noticed is that as the night went on, it just got louder and louder and louder until it was basically just a constant hum, right?
It was the main event. It was Naito and Okada, where it all of a sudden just turned into this rumbling. It was something that I had never... I mean, again, we went to WrestleMania, we went to Royal Rumble. Like, I know what crowds bigger than this sound like, right? But it's like with WrestleMania, it was different in that you would hear like basically 10,000 people try to get a chant going somewhere in the arena, right? And it would build, and sometimes it would catch fire, sometimes it would die right there. Here,
also, part of it there is to be hyped at the very beginning, right?
Yeah. I mean, here it was nothing. Now, there were moments, obviously, where it was very loud. And like, you know, the Kazi Ninore a part of the Suzuki entrance, for example, was like shockingly loud, right? But other than that, man, it is surreal. But they are dialed in. It is not like they're checked out. They are on it the entire time and will react when something happens. But in general, no loud ass chants. You heard a couple Y2J chants during the Jericho match, but not really like any other crowd I've ever been a part of. It was wild.
It's kind of cool though, because it really does make that last match feel like the most important thing ever, right? Like it.
Oh yeah.
And it was slightly louder, slightly louder, slightly louder. So, I mean, even during, like, Omega Jericho, I thought that the crowd was pretty into that. The four-way, people were pretty into that, yeah.
I mean, I think, I wouldn't say that they were not into anything necessarily. Yeah, and also, that crowd was there. Like, basically, like, from after the Rumble, like, that crowd was the crowd that it would be all night. Like, it was packed.
So, let me ask you this, because a lot of people... specifically on Reddit, which, you know, look.
It's Reddit.
We all know how the Reddit is.
Yeah.
You know? But there's a lot of human beings typing those comments on their keyboards. they just tend to say things that they maybe wouldn't say in a social setting.
Sure,
But a lot of people were bitching and moaning about the Japanese girls constantly yelling like Naito, constantly yelling like Okada. Did that come across as annoying in person?
No, but I was enjoying that because I've watched Japanese wrestling before and I know it happens, right? I did find out it is offensive if I were to do it in a high pitched voice.
Oh, to try to mimic them?
Yeah. So it's like,
oh yeah, why would
guys
you do that?
Guys can yell like a guy, like I could yell like Jericho because there were guys yelling like. So you just yell the one name, right?
Sure.
That's like, there's no chanting. There's no rhythm to it. It's just like Naito, Okada. Like, it's just that. Or for the young girls, it's a higher pitch. So it's Kenny. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, so when I'm reading these Reddit comments, I'm just like, why would you watch New Japan and watch Wrestle Kingdom and then just focus on that?
Because
find something to make them hate something.
Do you want to know what, Willie? I'm so glad you brought this up because my reaction after reading the Reddit's reaction to Wrestle Kingdom was welcome, New Japan. Welcome.
You've
made it. You've made it because now it's not the advocacy, right? So, like, for example, we will cover Wrestle Circus because we love Wrestle Circus, and we will accentuate the positives. We'll talk about all the great matches. We'll talk about all the great finishes. We'll talk about all the great spots. Now, are there elements to the Wrestle Kingdom product that, you know, you might crap on a little bit? Sure. But in general, we are in an advocacy phase with a lot of these independent promotions. And New Japan lived in that world until this Wrestle Kingdom. And now it's too long. You know, this is just a bunch of spot fest. How possible? And this was it. The crown, the achievement they should get. Like, YouTube sends their, like, a golden play button for million sub channels. Somebody should send just a golden squared circle. The live Reddit thread and the after Reddit thread thinks that you're a pile of garbage because their guy didn't win. Congratulations! Naito didn't win, and nobody fucking was happy about it.
Naito didn't win, and everyone was so furious about it.
You have made it, New Japan. You've made it.
This is what's funny about wrestling, because, I mean, okay, let's say you're watching the Super Bowl last year and you're a Falcons fan. Yeah, you're pissed because your Falcons didn't win, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like part of watching sports entertainment. But what's so far, or watch sports? Yeah, well, sports entertainment. It's all entertainment.
Yeah.
But about watching sports is being like, you know, essentially like married to the result, right? Like,
yeah,
the result matters to you. So I understand completely why people want a result deeply, right?
Yeah.
And are upset when they don't get it.
Well,
what I encourage people to stop doing is apply what they know about the backstage of wrestling to this result not happening in their favor. You got to keep playing along, or else it loses a bit of its fun, right?
Listen, like, man, I think that there is an argument to be made. That was 45,000 people in the Tokyo Dome. It's the largest attendance that they have had in, I think, 12 years. It had people traveling across the world, as I did, to go see this event. The amount of merch there was probably 80% LIJ.
All right, speaking of...
Oh, you got it! You got it!
I have a package here that arrived from Japan. And I don't know what's in here. Let's check it out.
So this is the haul that I sent to I sent to Willie.
Oh, look at this! Oh my goodness!
This is live and direct from the New Japan Pro Wrestling
First
store.
I'm seeing it.
There we go. An original Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh my god, that might be the coolest shirt I own now. dude, that's awesome. By the way, I just watched and tweeted out the Liger PWG thumb in the butt spot.
Oh yes,
on my tweet there. It was a new wrinkle to an old legend.
I think you might have something else in there as well. Awesome. You might have something else in that package as well.
World legend. Ooh, a little Tanahashi there. Okay.
It's a Tanahashi keychain. The ace can now be with you at all times.
For the cheap price of 1,400 yen, which I don't know the conversion rate, but
basically a yen is like think of it as a penny.
Okay, cool.
So it was about $14.
Dude, thank you very much for sending me some awesome fucking trinkets from Japan, man. Okay, so now we should probably hip some people.
Yeah.
To the plan, right?
Yes.
This sparked a little bit of a fire.
It did.
I think in both of us that just how good. Now, obviously, I think some people might be right, and I saw this opinion a lot, that maybe last year's Wrestle Kingdom was actually a superior show.
Maybe.
But that doesn't – but when I watched this, I think the takeaway for me was this is just always going to be the best show of the year, isn't it? Like just year after year after year.
You know, I think
– I see it's like Dominion or something like that.
Yeah, well, look, I think that New Japan is a promotion that is in the ascendancy. I think, obviously, the style of performer that they are producing is something that not only is seeing tremendous popularity around the world, but also in WWE, which is, I think we can all agree, the kind of largest stage for professional wrestling around the world. There's a reason why AJ Styles and Nakamura and Gallows and Anderson and Finn Balor, people who have made their name in New Japan, are now experiencing a tremendous amount of success there. So here's what I had a premonition while I was in Japan.
Yeah? Something awoken inside of you?
Yes. You know, number one, so many times that I was there with Ashley, I was like, man, this is good. This would be, Willie would dig this the most. We went to found this this bar district, Golden Guy. I'm like, this is a born for Willie. We saw the DDT. We saw Wrestle Kingdom. I'm like, oh my God, Dills, this is hog heaven for yeah. Willie Dills Gregory.
I feel like not just for me, but for me and you together.
Yes. No. This is yeah, considering
the perfect place for us to be.
Well, I went to Ribera. Oh my God! I haven't told the Ribera story on here.
I saw a tweet about it. You did not get a satin jacket. Right?
I did not get a satin jacket. So I go to Ribera.
You didn't try to convince anybody that you were a professional wrestler.
It was fucking awkward. It was awkward.
Now, growing up, and it's funny because you tweeted out what this place actually was.
Yeah.
I think I always imagined like a Ruth's Chris style steakhouse.
No. You
like
might
a giant, you know.
You might see pictures, and like WWE did a oral history that had pictures. That's not the original. That's from another location that his son runs. But Ribera.
Okay. So you went to the original one.
I went to the original one. And so it's about an hour wait, right? And I'm there waiting with Ashley. But Ashley, and this is something that kind of came up a bunch because she's vegan, is we have to kind of be strategic about where we're eating, right? Like we just got to find a place that she can eat and then I can come eat and yada, yada, yada. So we get there and there's about an hour wait. Ashley's waiting in line. And then we kind of realize that there's only 7 seats on this lunch counter. So, like, anybody taking up a seat is somebody else that's not getting in. And there was a party of 3 that had just left, and 2 people walked in. So there was room for 1. So Ashley decides she's going to go. So now I'm by myself. Let me explain to you a few things that do not happen at Ribera Steakhouse. Number 1, anybody speaking English to you. Number 2, you getting a menu. There's no menu. There's literally just a bunch of stuff on the wall behind him. Now, the pictures there are insane. They're amazing. They're great. A gigantic, old, like, NWA era Scott Hall on the front. Yeah. It's like a bunch of old wrestlers, like 80s. Hulk Hogan, still Ichiban, still number one right there in front.
I mean, that's the era when it really became a thing, right? Like, this is the era when the jacket kind of became like a thing that every wrestler had to have, right? It was
and
during
now,
that.
I would probably guess that now it's in a like post-ironic phase where now it's just like a thing that you want to do, but now it's kitsch because it's you know 80s and you know we have a fascination with you know that like Southpaw regional wrestling kind of.
But let's say you're a wrestler who's now in the WWE and you do your first show in Japan, you got to go get your jacket.
You got to go get your jacket, right?
Yeah.
So. The only things on the menu, a 1-pound steak, a 1/2-pound steak, a 1.5-pound steak. The only sides that you can get are corn, I think potatoes, salad. That's it.
Perfect.
And so, like
going to an In-N-Out. It's like, yeah, they get
exactly
2 things.
So I order.
What combination of those things do you want?
The guy, and by the way, 1 employee. It's just Ribera, the dude that owns it, the dude that started it. Ribera, that's him. He's cooking your steaks. He's throwing it in your face. You're eating it. That's it. Cash only. So I go, and nobody else is talking. This is not a thing where people are going back and forth.
Just sit down and eat, right? Yeah.
You are literally just sitting there, and you are literally just eating. Also, that was actually just reminded me. So when we're waiting, dude rolls up in a hot fucking car. I can't even remember what it was, but it has suicide doors. There's a line waiting, like, again, an hour behind. You know, so if you just got in line, you have to wait an hour to get in. This dude and his friend, who's wearing a American flag fur coat, takes it off to reveal another American flag shirt and just walks right in with his friend. So I don't know if this is a Yakuza thing. I don't know if he's just a rich kid, like, but he is flossing, right?
Yeah.
I wind up sitting next to him. So now I'm nervous as shit about trying to make sure that I get my order in. I'm trying to make sure that I know exactly what to order. Like,
you don't
want to
break any protocols here. Yeah.
I'm not trying to break any. Exactly. Nor am I trying to accidentally spill a corn kernel on this dude's puma and have him, you know, wind up as some Yakuza statistic, right?
Was he covered in tats or anything? Or, because I mean, I think that's what you got to look
for. It was
for,
full.
Right?
It was
about Yakuza.
No, he was all covered up with long sleeve shirts.
Yeah. Could right. be Yakuza.
Could be. I don't know. So I eat. Yakuza guys leave. And I figure, all right, well, I got to, since nobody, there's no conversation here at all. There's no ability to conversate. I just type into my Google Translate, which was a lifesaver out there. It was an honor eating at your world famous restaurant. And so the way Google Translate works is you just type in whatever you want to type in, right? And yeah. then I'll even show you what happened. But you just turn it to the side, and in gigantic lettering, it will show you.
It'll show you, like, the American, like, spelled out version of that.
No, so here's exactly what I did. You turn it sideways, and that's what it shows you. Right?
Oh, so you just show him that.
So I just show him that.
Yeah.
So he's reading it, and he kind of looks like sort of nonplussed. Like, he's just, like, kind of confused.
I know.
He's like, thank you. And I'm like, thank you. So I pay, and I'm about to leave. And just as I am, all of a sudden, he just is like, whoa, wait. And so he stops me, and he hands me this.
Okay.
This is a keychain.
Okay.
A Ribera keychain. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I've been gifted something by the great Ribera. This is just amazing. And it's at point that I turn the keychain over to reveal that it is a Hello Kitty keychain. With, for whatever reason, May 22nd in charms hanging from the bottom of it. And the back side, he literally just put a sticker of himself over the Hello Kitty keychain.
Whatever was on that side, sure. So this is, to me, like, yeah, there's a few things here. Like, obviously, like, he's got to have something other than the jacket, because the jacket, that's, you know, that's, you can't give those out to just anybody,
no,
right?
Yeah, of course not.
They were to have eaten in your world famous restaurant.
Yeah.
So what are you going to have on hand just in case somebody, you know, does something that you feel... has earned a token of respect. And there you go. You just buy a bunch of Hello Kitty trinkets and
my
you put
God.
Your sticker on
them. It was, I don't know what what it might have said. Like, maybe he thought I was looking for, like, a gift for my daughter or something. But maybe the message got through perfectly clear.
Sure.
Here's all I know, Willie. John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, the Dudley Boys, the Legion of Doom, they all have satin jackets, but I don't know if any of them have a Ribera Hello Kitty keychain. So
I would guess probably none of them. And if they did, they would all keep them in their fanny packs, by the way.
They probably would. Here's all I know is that I am now setting the standard for wrestling podcasts that wrestlers get jackets, wrestling podcasts get keychains.
All right.
So get on our level. Every other wrestling podcast, because 1-900 got their keychain.
First one in the biz to get their Ribera keychain.
First one in the biz.
Anything else like super notable about your time there in Japan as far as the wrestling was concerned? Did you go to the Raw after Mania?
No, no.
Okay.
That apparently was an extraordinarily tough ticket.
It was a very small venue.
Yeah, no, again, that's Kirkin Hall. So that's the, like, size of a elementary school auditorium-sized venue. We
that
actually
show was phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, we were out of a town. We went to Nagano to go see the Snow Monkeys.
Cool.
Here would be the only other cool thing, and this was nerd-tastic. We saw on the Young Bucks Twitter feed that there is a place called Howling Mask, and it is awesome. It's like a great fashion place for wrestling stuff. So the guy's done a few WWE things in the past, but he's probably most well known for doing Kenny Omega's gear. So he did his gear last year in the main event.
Yeah.
And had on hand the gun that Kenny came to the ring with during the Wrestle Kingdom that just had happened.
Yeah, it was like a giant cartoony style.
A couple days ago. And as I was mooning over this fact, he offered Willie to take a picture with me having the gun. So I got this picture of me. I tried to recreate as best as I could the Kenny Omega shot. You can see this on my Instagram. Yeah,
you're only missing the giant Egyptian god head.
I'm missing the Anubis headdress, and I think a little bit of the butt of the gun kind of fell apart in transit. But that was apparently War Machine's friends that do those props.
Ah, okay.
Cool. But it was awesome. That was amazing to talk to him a little bit and just kind of get a little bit more into the world of the New Japan kind of world over there. That was probably the biggest wrestling nerddom stuff. It was so fun. It was great fun meeting other people. Again, people from around the world, tons of people from England, Scotland, America, huge PWG contingent was out there. It was amazing.
So from what I understand, a lot of people from Europe just go to Japan and sometimes just live there for months on end because it's really not that, it's not as far of a trip for them. Right. And it's just one of those places where it's just so different from anything else you're ever going to experience in the world. So
yeah,
people just are drawn to it. Right. And I think for good reason, it's like been high on my list of places I would like to go.
Speaking of that, Willie,
for a long time,
I had a premonition while I was in Tokyo. And this was my premonition. You know, we have this Wrestle Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Every Patreon dollar that you guys give us does not go into our pockets. It goes into our fund.
We don't pay rent. We don't. Nope. We don't go out drinking with it.
We oftentimes drink alongside of it, but with our own money.
Yeah.
With our own money,
it facilitates the drinking that happens.
Sometimes. We use it for our further enrichment to bring you guys to these events through our experiences, and so the appeal that I made to Willie was, what if we forego doing as we did last year, going to Royal Rumble, going to WrestleMania, going to the ROH show in Vegas. What if we piled all the money that is made through the year 2018 into one purchase of Wrestle Kingdom Wrestle Kingdom 13 tickets, because it will indeed be the first show of 2019. That's true. 1-900 Wrestling. So shouldn't we be there at Wrestle Kingdom for that event?
I mean, I can't find any flaws in your logic here. It all sounds pretty sound. So, if we take a full year and plus the whatever we have now, which we haven't touched in a while.
Yep.
ROH was the last thing we dipped into the fund for. I think we can, at least get close. And
I think we're good enough
because then you just put in whatever the difference is, right?
We can put a significant dent into it. And I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that I would love to do again, would be go out to Japan for New Year's, which was a blast. Man, we are going to have a great time. So that's the incentive. That's the incentive to continue to not only do this show, but also to make this show better and reach more people. Because the more folks we get into the tent, the more that we, the faster we can get to our goal to go to Wrestle Kingdom 13 in the Tokyo Dome.
I'm all in.
Man, I saw a five-star match. Five-star match in the Tokyo Dome. I can't believe it.
It happened. Real quick, before we move on to the 1-900s.
Yes.
I want to personally give a shout-out to your wife for making this whole thing happen. Because, Ashley, she's now been the catalyst to two amazing wrestling journeys. And that's pretty badass, because there's a lot of men out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whose wives aren't 100% supportive of their wrestling habits.
No, she is.
You hit the jackpot, my friend.
She is enabling, if not facilitating some of these events. Although, by the way, and she has not let me forget this. When we were at TwitchCon, she went to go on a business trip to PWG.
Mm.
While she was at PWG, she saw a 5-star match as rated by the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer. That means that she will always be, until I see a 5-star wrestling match without her.
She's always going to be one.
She will always be one up on me. She will always be one up.
It's like when you're a sibling and you're like, I'll never be older than you. You're always going to be one.
She's always. I'm like, oh, do you know that we saw a 5-star match? The first thing out of her mouth. Yeah, that means I've seen two.
Yeah, that was my second one.
Ah.
She's like, yeah. Been there, done that. 5-star match. Hmm. Well, okay. So now we're gonna have to go to.
Wait, hold on. She's sauntering. She's sauntering now. Vince McMahon like into the room. She's marking up here. She says strutting now into the studio, showing her Wrestle Kingdom.
They call her Mrs. 5-star Match.
Exactly. Do you have anything that you want to say?
No, I'm just happy I can rub that in your face for the foreseeable future. So, also, hi, Dills.
Okay. All right. Now get out of here before I start talking about
the
Impact's Instagram.
5-star Match.
All right. So, real quick news, I do want to point this stuff out. And again, we focus a lot on Twitch wrestling because we are on Twitch and we love wrestling. A few big things. One, a big rumor or a seeming leak. And the other is just straight out good news. Number one, Wrestle Circus will be back. They are now selling tickets to their return match. The bill or the card is out. It looks awesome as per usual. So we're very happy that they are back on their feet. Also, you know, Impact Wrestling under new management again, they tweeted out on put it on their Instagram, the fact that they're going back to a 4-sided ring, but it was what was on the side of one of those 4 sides. A gigantic Twitch logo that got people talking. I have heard no advanced stuff about this. I have no idea what it might mean. But tell you what, if Impact comes to Twitch, that's a huge feather in the free streaming wrestling camp, right?
That's massive. I mean, this is a product that's been just on cable television for years now.
Yeah.
And for them to maybe make the – now, I'm curious to know, do they not have an actual TV deal in place? Are they 100% moving? I'd like to see where this is actually headed. But, yeah, like this would be like the 8th promotion or something like that now that we're getting on. So, I mean, if you want to watch wrestling,
it's
chances
on.
Are some wrestling is going to be on.
Yeah.
On Twitch. So.
No, that is absolutely no joke. So we are excited to see where that goes. All right. It is a huge moment where we reveal our 1-900s 2017 in the books. So, Willie, where do we want to start?
I say we let's just go through it all one by one here. So the idea here is, we've been doing the show now, not for a full calendar year, but you know, all the way through most of 2017 and. Actually, maybe it
was more.
Been,
no, no, more. Yeah, remember our first one was Survivor Series last year on the road to WrestleMania.
True.
So yeah,
holy
no,
crap.
We're
all right. Yeah, so a year of doing the 1-900 wrestling show, and so we thought it's time for us to initiate our first ever 1-900s awards.
Yes,
and we are going. This is basically just a chance for us to talk about the year 2017, and so yeah, this show may go a little longer than most of our normal shows.
That's fine.
We'll rock through this stuff. So we just got a bunch of categories here, and as the years go on, we can expand on this. We can do whatever we want with this.
Yeah.
For now, let's just give a chance to kind of shout out some of the coolest things that happened this year.
Cool.
So the best, let's just go ahead and start, the best return.
Yeah.
Now this essentially just means a wrestler coming back to a promotion after being gone for a while. And I kind of went, I think, outside of the box a little bit on this one, because I think a lot of times people are going to think of WWE here, But of course, we're going to talk about the entire wrestling world.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm going to go with Chris Jericho, but it was the return to New Japan.
To right? New Japan, okay.
Yeah, because that was like, you know, 15 years or something like that since the last time he had wrestled there.
And yeah.
There was no prior knowledge that that was going to happen. He just showed up, beat the hell out of Kenny Omega, and it was the best thing ever.
And
so,
it was great.
I freaking loved it.
Man, I totally short circuited. So I said Shelton Benjamin because I had no other way to counter what was obviously the most surprising and craziest return.
But Shelton showing back up was pretty cool too. I think the problem that I've had with the Shelton Benjamin return is he hasn't really done as much as I was hoping he was gonna do.
Tag team champion.
I mean, that's cool. Yeah, that's great. But that was kind of a slow burn on that one.
By the way, how funny.
Had him come in and step into Jason Jordan's shoes and just be Jason Jordan again. I was like, no.
How exciting
that he's back.
How funny is that? They split them up, and within 3 months, they're both tag team champions again.
Yeah, I know. That is pretty funny.
That's how good of a tag team
Jason
they are.
Jordan might be injured right now, so he might be Yeah, the Seth Rollins curse, right? You can't be a tag team partner of Seth Rollins.
Or just being anywhere near the Shield, right? Like, I don't know what gypsy they ran over, but, like, they just cannot get their luck on their side.
Yeah. I will say, though, I'm happy to see Shelton Benjamin back. I mean, he's such a great talent, and he's still got it, like, clearly. He's still super athletic and can do a lot of the things he always was able to do, so... It's pretty cool, and I do like him with Gable. I think it's a fun pairing.
No, they are.
Let's talk about the best promo of the year, and yours is so good that I'm gonna go ahead and go first on this one too. I'm going with Kevin Owens telling Shane McMahon that he should have died in a helicopter accident because that was insane.
But let me ask you this: you're gonna go with that over him headbutting Vince McMahon?
Well, that whole period was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, headbutting Vince McMahon was an awesome moment. But literally saying, and the whole thing, okay, I rewatched it again. And the whole thing is set up so well because, you know, they have Shane McMahon do the, don't you dare mention my kids again.
Yeah.
And he does all this stuff. He says this terrible thing. And then he's like, your wife.
Yeah.
Your dad. Your kids, and then it's just like immediately like Shane blows up, and it was just like everything about that promo was super well designed and well executed. I freaking loved it, and it's so shocking. The crowd was just like couldn't believe that Kevin Owens was going to that place, right? So I don't know, talking about how a human should have died. Yeah, it doesn't get more brutal than that.
It is pretty brutal. There are two moments to this promo that I need everybody to hear, so I have queued them up. As of course, the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania.
Essentially, the crowd cut half this promo. 95% of this promo.
It is Undertaker and Roman sucks as they just let this crowd broil. There we go. Roman Reigns comes out. And I'm telling you right now, I'm watching the YouTube video 40 seconds. Is where we start. This entire thing is 3 minutes and 15 seconds. It is entirely Roman getting booed and chanted at. Go away.
It was just, this is one of the most brilliant moments I've ever seen.
Just
whenever he
brings the mic to his face, they just boo more.
It's so great because the crowd is playing along perfectly.
This is my yard now.
That's it. And he's out.
Drop the mic,
walks out.
Yep.
If anything,
he probably crop dusted the ring on the way out too. I mean, he just had no respect for anybody else anymore. This was his yard now.
That was my favorite promo of the year, and I just wish that we had more of that Roman. I just want more of that. I don't give a shit. I'm the best ever. Suck these nuts. I'm Roman Reigns.
I mean, like, because we then they tried to give us, you know, like Cena versus Roman's promo offs, and it was just like, no, the 5-word promo. That's Roman. That should be like Roman's specialty, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Like he just doesn't. He can't be bothered to talk more than that. And I love that Roman. I think it's great. It was kind of, you know, this is what he was in the Shield, and when he was very popular as a member of the Shield, where he basically just said "bleed at." Like, that's all he really did, right?
That's all he has to do. He's a murderer. All right.
Yep.
The best tag team.
What you got?
Ooh, Souls. Man, what a year for them. I think
fantastic, yeah.
Just another great example of when you can have natural kind of personality, just let themselves succeed. And look, they were bad guys, and they basically talked their way into being faces. You know, the crowd just loves them.
They're just too good. Yeah, and it's funny because they were in such a lull before that, you know? They were kind of hated on. They were the lull Usos win tag team for a while, and they were the baby faces that were everyone thought was boring as hell. Didn't really do much other than come out and do their little war dance and then beat somebody
and
somehow have the titles all the time. And then now they've been in the title picture as heels, and they've been fantastic as heels, and they put on some of the best matches. Like every single feud they get into, I'm like, I'm not getting, this is the fifth time we've seen this match, and yet I'm still interested every single time, right?
150%. And they've done with the New Day was fantastic.
Yeah. So I went with the Bar solely because Cesaro gave up his friggin' upper chompers and continued to wrestle, and they still put on one of the best matches of that pay-per-view, and they just don't seem to have bad matches. And also, the Bar gets extra points because when they started out, it was an idea that everybody shit on hard to put these two guys together. I think a lot of people were upset because they want to see Cesaro break out as a solo performer. They want to see him finally have that moment that he just keeps like bouncing around between new random tag partners. And Sheamus obviously hadn't really been someone that was very popular with a lot of the internet wrestling community. Like he was kind of, you know, oh, he's just boring and he's whatever. And he comes back with the mohawk and the beaded beard and all this stuff. And you look stupid. A lot of people were just like not taking him seriously. And then this morphed into some of the best tag team action of the year. And one of the best entrances for a wrestling tag team I think I've ever seen. So, yeah, love what they've turned this into.
I'm not quite as high, but I see where you're coming from. All right. Best pay-per-view.
So there was a lot of turmoil inside me wanting to pick something from New Japan here, but the pay-per-view that I was so hyped after I watched was NXT War Games. That thing was incredible all the way through.
Yeah.
And they had so many awesome moments. And it had we'll refer back to in a little bit as my favorite spot of the year as well. So it was not a single bad match in that freaking pay-per-view. It was insane.
Not to mention kind of refreshing, right? Because it's like, dude, they're sitting on all this awesome history that never gets touched. And it was so great to see NXT be, free to be like, no, we're going to do War Games, right? Or even them doing Starcade like in as a live show in Carolina, like that was really really fun, and I think that it was just so great to see. However, the pay per view that is closest to my heart is the one that we saw about a year ago in where was it? Houston?
Old San Antonio?
No, San Antonio, Texas, in the Alamo Dome. It was the Royal Rumble. Man,
yeah, that was super fun. Plus, that was also like, if I think about it, that was the best. Like WrestleMania was great, but having Pac South going on, having a bunch of people be in town for that, and stuff like just getting to hang out with so many different people that whole entire weekend. Yeah, that was pretty special.
And also, to me, it was probably the best match I've ever seen live in.
Cena AJ
like that. Yeah. That Cena, that was just big. That was a big consequential wrestling match that probably should have headlined WrestleMania.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
That was and look, I've been to the Tokyo Dome. I've seen Okada Naito. I've seen a five-star match in the Tokyo Dome. I will put that up against any match that I have ever seen, and I thought it was amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's do actually, I want to move this one down a little bit. Let's do the best feud here.
Well, you want to know what? I'll just keep it going. My favorite feud was AJ and Cena.
Sure.
I think that it will be tremendous if John Cena has another match as good as the one that he had at Royal Rumble. And I know it was early, and I know that we kind of split the feud a little bit between 2016 and 2017, but holy shit, getting that level of a work rate out of those two guys, it's hard to want better.
Well, and you got like a trilogy, which is always great, like a fantastically done trilogy where every match felt like its own thing, not just like a rehash of the match before, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was a fantastic feud. I'm going to go New Day versus the Usos because, like I told you before, the Usos tend to find a way to just keep making those matches, even if you've seen it already five times. And that by the end of this feud, I think a lot of people were saying, yeah, okay, this has to be done now. This has to run its course. And yet they kept on making new things happen, right? So at the Hell in the Cell, we kind of got the most brutal version of it that we had seen. And it was one of my favorite matches of the year. So I just loved everything about it. I loved every match they had. And I honestly could continue watching them now. They were so good.
Oh, yeah. Good. No, totally. By the way, for best pay-per-view, I see you chiming in NXT TakeOver Chicago between the UK match and the ending with Ciampa and Gargano. Oh my God. Amazing, beautiful, fantastic.
The problem with a list like that, or with, you know, doing this stuff, is you can only really pick one. And there's always going to be, they have honorable mentions and first, second, third, but no, we'll just go with one. And, but I'm with you. I see that was a fantastic one. All right, let's go with the best spot. The best spot of the year.
You want to know what? I saw yours and I'm like, that wasn't even the best spot in the match. So you go ahead and you go tell your favorite spot and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
All right. The superplex off the top of War Games cage.
That was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was great. It wasn't.
Well, it was great because they teased it for so long. And I was like, they're not going to do that. And I had been two nights prior to an NXT house show where Adam Cole, baby, had busted his head wide open. And he's the man at the top of the cage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, come on. Like, he's not going to do that. His head was literally, like, he's got staples in his head right now. Like, this is not the guy. And by the way, in that same match, another man had to have his head glued together.
Yeah.
Because apparently they just hate the tops of their heads in NXT. They just try to brutalize them. But it was, it was teased really well. It was really well executed. It was actually done fairly safely. And I hate seeing these crazy-ass spots where I just feel like, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
This was like everything about it was just like done really well and it was fantastic. I loved it. And there's lots of spots one of my spots I was going to have Ibushi, Ibushi Naito pile driver off the second.
Oh, turnbuckle. Yeah, yeah.
That was going to be my, because I was like, that was even more brutal. But this was just, everything about it was just fun.
Listen, you make a lot of good points. Unfortunately, also in that match was Killian Dane going coast to coast.
That was pretty awesome.
It's one of the wildest things I've ever seen. I thought it was fantastic. So that's my spot of the year was just the ambiance of that match and seeing the big man fly and kind of finally getting a little bit, they're kind of loosening up the reins on Killian Dane, which is great.
By the way, it was Adam Cole was the one who took that too, wasn't he? Or was it Kyle O'Reilly?
I think it was Kyle. I think he was, before he launched, he was like mocking Adam Cole, who was like half hiding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, now I remember. Yeah. This all happened very close to each other, by the way. It's kind of great. Both of our top spots come from
the War Games match.
There was a lot of stuff in here that was like honorable mention. Like, I think Omega falling down instead of getting hit with a Rainmaker was pretty freaking awesome. There's a lot of cool stuff that happened this year.
Great year. All right.
Yeah.
Best gimmick. We both went with broken slash woken Matt Hardy.
I mean, how do you pick anything but him? You know.
Well, it's back. It's back, and the news is that they have settled all of their issues with Impact. So now the full broken universe can come to the WWE. Apparently, rumors now that they're shooting at the Hardy compound, so we might see more of what we knew and love.
It was concerning me a little because he was just doing a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, please don't do the thing that you do where the laughing got over the first time you did it, and so now you just do the laughing all the time.
Yeah.
I want the promos, and then the laughing can be part of the promo. But, yeah. Like, I loved the playing chess against the fish.
Yeah.
I love, like, there's so many things that I loved, and then there's just a lot of laughing, and I'm like, oh, God, no, WWE's doing
that
thing again.
We don't. We
where
don't
they
need
just
to do that.
Hammer home the one thing they think works. But I don't think Matt's going to let that happen, so.
All right, best heel.
Best heel. I'm going with, okay, your answer was actually my first instinct, because he is the best heel.
All right, so I said Kevin Owens.
Yeah, you said Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens, come on, he's the best heel. He's so freaking good at being a heel. Like, they tried to have... Well, they didn't even try to have. They introduced Kevin Owens to the NXT universe as a face for, like, literally one episode.
His debut
right?
match. That was it.
Yeah, because you can't have him be a face. He just isn't. But I went with Elias because that man generates heat, brother, without doing very much at all. Just showing up.
Baltimore is bathed in filth. Yeah.
He's a guitar douchebag. You know when you go to a party and there's a guy like, oh, acoustic guitar? And then he just wants to like play
all
guitar
night.
All night. And you're like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
He is a guitar douchebag. So I hate him all the time. Every time I see him, I hate him. And that's what makes someone the best deal.
It's so great because it's such an old school thing. I mean, what more do you have to say about Kevin Owens? He's Kevin Owens. He's the best.
Yeah. He's just, everything he does is like, perfectly heelish, you know. So anyway, yeah, I think it was between these two for me, but I had to kind of go with the dark horse, I think, on this one.
Best
indie wrestler.
Indie wrestler of the year.
Yes. So
which
I
think
like
indie
both of our picks here.
Indie, I think we're describing as
not New Japan, by the way, too. Although they can participate in New Japan.
Sure.
But I mean,
yeah.
Like, not, you know, like I wouldn't say Okada's an indie wrestler.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But both of our picks do work in New Japan, so
they do, and they were both. One of them was a champion. All right, you want to do yours first?
Sure. Yeah, I picked Marty Scurll, the villain. Bullet Club, awesome spots, the finger breaking, the whole thing. Like he's the full package, man.
He's great.
He's going big places. He already is at big places, and I don't see anything slowing down soon with that guy. That guy is fantastic, and I love the fact that you can see him. You know, at Wrestle Kingdom, and then you can also see him in like a bingo hall, right?
Yeah.
And that's to me what kind of the essence of an indie wrestler is. Is like they just go everywhere. They do everything. They're at everything, but their kind of presence is like any promotion he shows up to, any event he shows up to, he makes it feel bigger that because he's there and on the independent circuit. So yeah, love that guy.
Mine is Cody, the prince who became a king.
Sure.
Spent the majority of the year as ROH champion before dropping it to Dalton Castle. I think he took the leap, in my opinion, this year.
Yeah.
Right down to the fact that now his super douche, bleach blonde hair, the more that he's worked Brandy into the act, I think has been fantastic. You know, culminating in that match that he had at Wrestle Kingdom, I feel like he's just at a different level now, like his character, that like cackling super asshole, has finally sort of crystallized on a level that I never really saw before, and that's the thing, is like a lot of these guys that we talk about are amazing and they're great, but very rarely do you get a chance to see them kind of take the leap, have a year where they like really, they're just not the same after it as they were before it, in a way that you saw last year with Cody.
I'll say this, too. He also had one of my favorite indie wrestling moments of the year. It happened at Wrestle Circus. Takes a tack spot to finish the match. with Tax still in his back, holds a cute puppy as he auctions his boots off to benefit Austin Pets Alive. So, like, went from being a douche heel, doing a tax spot in front of, you know, a few hundred people.
Yeah.
And then, like, doesn't even go to the back afterwards to get them removed from his back. No, just give me that cute puppy.
Give me the puppy.
Make some money for a great charitable organization. Wow, what a guy.
awesome. All right. Best champion.
Best champion. So basically what this means is the person who, like, because there's lots of champions every year, right? And this isn't necessarily, like, the best wrestler of the year, the best whatever. This is, like, someone who held the belt and it was, like, an awesome friggin' run, right? And, like, you know, that just made the belt important, made everything cooler because they were the champion. It just looked like a champion, you could say, too.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff together. And I was racking my brain on this one a little bit, and then I just had to go Okada. It's just Okada. He's now surpassed the record, right, as the longest combined days holding the New Japan belt or the IWGP belt. But more than that, when he beat Naito at this last Wrestle Circus, which is not technically, or Wrestle Kingdom, which is not technically part of the year 2017, a lot of people were upset because they, in their minds, were doing the booking. It's like a lot of people, when they saw The Last Jedi, they, in their minds, had written the script already.
Well,
like, a lot of people had written the booking for Wrestle Kingdom in their minds, that this was Naito's moment. But having Okada win, like, really made it hit, like, you know, that guy can't be beat. And when he is beat, it's going to be insane, right? And
that
was awesome to me.
Here's really all I'll say about that. I think everybody, if, you know, it took nuts for them to not make that Naito's night.
Right.
Like, I understand that was the plan. Right.
The crowd.
But it's like, that crowd was rabid. I mean, like, when you look at the numbers and you say, all right, well, hopefully next year, even more people, right? Even more, maybe you even have to reconfigure the seating so you can accommodate everything. But, like, that was their largest crowd ever in the recent memory. They were 80% LIJ.
Yeah.
It takes nuts. But look, that match is fantastic. And don't tell old Davey Meltzer, but I thought it was better than Jericho Omega. I loved that Okada Naito match.
I thought it was fantastic too. I mean, I preferred Jericho and Omega. I, like, just as a match, like, watching it. But the storytelling here was so great. And, you know, to me, after thinking about it, it was kind of, at first I was like everybody else, like, man, that would have been cool if Naito had been able to pull this one out, right? And they really teased that well that he would.
Oh, my God. No, they made it into his coronation. They made it all about the long road that he's traveled,
sure,
culminating in just one night.
He had to use, like, his newer LIJ stuff and not the old, like, Naito things that weren't working. Like, all of that was in there. But what Okada winning meant to me was that he is just, like, the true final boss of wrestling now, right? Like, he is, like, whoever takes him down is, you know, it's like beating Lesnar or something like that, if you want to, like, give it, like, a WWE version of what this is. If we want to, like, try to find, like, a comparable thing.
Yeah.
It's like if you finally beat Lesnar and he's been holding the title forever and no one can touch him and he just suplex cities John Cena all over the place, who's, like, you know, the other guy, then, okay, you are now getting the ultimate rub. And so when that does happen, it's going to be insane for whoever that person is. And maybe that person is Omega. Maybe that person is Ibushi. Maybe that I don't know. But maybe it's Naito, actually, and after another full year of storylines. Like,
I mean,
but whatever it is, this win was just like, damn, that dude is the champ, man. Like, you can't beat that guy. So,
I know.
I loved it.
Pants and all. My
yeah,
pick,
even with the pants. I like the pants.
I thought the pants are fine. Stop everybody getting all worked up by the pants. My pick was Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode in NXT. You know, the NXT championship has been kind of a weird thing over the past couple years.
It's like a hot potato title in a lot of ways.
Well, it kind of has to be, right? You know, because people are getting called up. If you're the champion, then you're probably due to get called up at any moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby Roode was somebody that I felt was the first person since the first class of NXT folks like Neville and Sami Zayn, that was like a champion, like capital C, gold-plated champion. Yeah. And obviously his presentation matters so much to that. And man, you can see that when he does not have the booking behind him, that act is just not the same.
Yeah, I know. Like him coming out with a belt just seems so important to his character, doesn't it? Like that, it just it helps
and,
him.
And a heel,
be the cocky bastard.
A heel, you know, he's a heel. It's him taunting Gargano what's his butt, the Messiah of the Backbreaker, Bobby. What's it called? I can't remember his name. He's in NXT now. He has little boots.
His little boots?
He's got little boots. Oh, I'm gonna kill myself.
Chad'll know in a second.
Chad'll know it. All right. I thought he was great. I thought it built to him giving Galloway the kind of or McIntyre the kind of reemergence that he needed to make him a big champion. So. Bobby Roode.
He definitely made the NXT belt not seem as much like the hot potato thing and more like a belt you want to have and hold for a long time. Roderick Strong? Is that your
Roderick name? Strong, that's it.
There you go. I like that. I like that because it does feel like the NXT title is just like, okay, you are the next call up. Then they hand it to you, and then it's like, oh, now your days are numbered, right?
Exactly.
They did mess with that storyline a little bit by having, you know, guys like Nakamura and Samoa Joe like win it several times, right? Which I thought was kind of nice. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to make that thing feel important as its own entity and not just as the stepping stone, right?
Yeah. And right, a year ago, we saw him win the title.
That's so right. That's right. Also, that was also in San Antonio, right?
NXT San Antonio, yeah.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Best up and comer. So this is not necessarily a rookie, but somebody who's, because it's hard to say someone's a rookie in wrestling, right? Like,
yeah,
is Cien Almas a rookie? Like, no.
No.
So you kind of have to just, instead of doing that, like you have to say someone who's just kind of starting what their next big phase is now and is doing it better than anybody else. And we both picked the same guy. Because there ain't no other
Braun!
Guy. Yeah, it's Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is just right now the most exciting thing in the WWE to a lot of people. It was funny, you read Reddit comments, and a lot of times people like to be hipsters there, right? They like to like the thing that nobody else likes. Nobody is dissing Braun Strowman. Everybody can just, it's like one thing we can all agree on. We want to see Braun Strowman do stuff. And he's just a badass.
Listen, he's big. He has that country ass sensibility. I think he's got a gigantic career in ahead of him because that dude is over.
Yeah, super over. And I think he's also like he's more akin to like Big Show, where he'll last a long time, right? Rather than some of the other big men who like Great Khali, who just kind of flame out. They start out badass, but then their body can't take what
part of it is that you're getting the paycheck because of your size, right?
Sure.
So there's not really a whole lot of incentive to work on your character or be more or less likable. Big Show got that eventually, and Braun gets it almost immediately. Like he's
but also a lot of times the big guys they don't age well, right? It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough on your body to be that large. Especially to be that large and do wrestling.
Sure. Although if you're a big guy, you don't really have to do all that much. It's not like you're doing backflips.
But we're seeing Braun doing quite a bit. But I think he's more like he's more like Big Show was the athlete, right? And I think Braun also has that same thing. All right, best. Now we're just getting into the best of the best when we're talking just wrestlers. So best female wrestler. Now your answer is probably correct.
Yeah.
But my answer is just like a gut thing. I got to go with my girl Alexa Bliss because she's my favorite female wrestler. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I just love watching her. Everything she does, I find incredibly entertaining. A lot of people are probably like, what are you talking about? She's not the best female wrestler. I don't matter. This is the beauty of wrestling. I like who I like. You like who you like. everything she did this year I liked more than what anybody else did.
So there we go. We're done.
Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. That's the one criteria that matters.
And she's had a great year.
Yeah.
Nor is anybody ready for Asuka. Asuka, really the only thing that I think, obviously she had that hiccup, going from NXT to the main roster.
Sure.
But, man.
It's hard to keep that amount of momentum, though, right?
She is a beast. So excited to see everything that comes from her.
Now, right. I expect my answer next year, by the way, in this category to be Kairi Sane. So,
I mean, yo ho. we'll see.
All right. Best
I mean, listen, by the way, next year that answer might be Ronda Rousey.
Oh, okay.
You never know.
Yeah, she's coming. All right, best male wrestler. And a lot of times I see this category listed as best wrestler, and I'm like, why is there best wrestler and best female wrestler?
And then best female wrestler, right?
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, best male wrestler of the year. And this, again, this can be anybody from any promotion. But, another one where we both agree. And that's, I think, only the third time on this entire list. It's hard to agree 100% of the time in, like, things like, you know, wrestling. It is, by definition, a thing where people pick and choose their favorite thing. And it's oftentimes for very different reasons, but there's some things that you just can't deny.
So let's also, just real quick before we reveal who we picked, somebody that could have had this would be Kenny Omega. I mean, listen, sure. Dude had 2 6-star matches, took his fame, I think, to a whole nother level. When you, that crowd.
Breakout year for him, absolutely.
Yeah, that crowd at New Japan, you know, just, they were as into him as they were into Tanahashi, as they were into Okada, maybe not Naito. Naito is way over, but like,
yeah, Naito takes it to a new level right now.
But he has had a huge, absolutely gigantic, massive year. And then, you know, I'll tell you what, for what they are doing behind the scenes, I would also put the Young Bucks into consideration. Look. Jeez. The Young Bucks are changing the game for what it means to be an independent wrestler between the Hot Topic stuff, what they're doing with the YouTube channel, like just making themselves, putting themselves into tremendous positions. Also, twitch.tv/beingtheelite, which they started broadcasting on over the holiday. Look,
they're embracing everything that comes outside of the ring, and then they're also just putting on insanely good matches.
Just
in their
great.
Ring. So it's not like they're letting one thing suffer to add a new dimension into what being an independent wrestler does. So.
And also, Labor Day weekend, All In, their independent show will happen. No word yet on exactly where that will be. But we will find out soon. That is something that, tell you what, if...
it's going to be a game changer, regardless. Like I don't see a way for this not to be massive at this point.
I mean, well, look, I think that they'll... they might not get 10K if it's just them, you know. But if they are able to have a certain CM, a certain Phil Brooks, realize that... You know,
maybe wrestling is where his bread is buttered. Yeah,
you know, like.
But I want to give a shout out to their match, by the way, with the Tempura Boys. Sorry,
Roppongi 3K.
Roppongi 3K, yes. Because they get a lot of crap that they don't sell and they don't tell stories and they just are spot monkeys. That whole match was basically like all our backs are broken.
Yeah.
Can we still somehow find a way to win this match without the use of our backs?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. That was such a fun match.
No, it was great.
Best male wrestler. Let's go ahead and let's just pull the curtain back. I think a lot of people probably have an idea who this might be. It's AJ Styles. I mean, this is the phenomenal AJ Styles, right? I mean, come on. They don't want none. He's just, everything he does is just amazing in the ring. And you put him in match, like, it's funny because if there was a period of time this year or during 2017 where he like didn't have the belt,
yeah,
and he was kind of, you know, he was kind of being just kind of used as maybe you would call it like enhancement talent to make other people look insanely awesome because yeah. everything he sells is so friggin' good. He flops around the ring like a madman. Everything he looks like, you're like, he's definitely hurt now, right?
Yeah.
But he's not. Like, he's, it was all on purpose. He did all that to sell the move. It's everything he does is crazy good, and it never looks nothing. It never looks like fake pro wrestling. Like, if I wanted to show somebody whose biggest criticism of wrestling is that it's fake,
yeah,
I'll just show them an AJ Styles match.
Yeah.
And be like, tell me why that it being fake is bothering you right now as you watch this, because it can't.
Look, AJ Styles has proven that you should be optimistic if your favorite wrestler comes to WWE. Because
yes.
that's
and is small and is, you know what I mean? All the things that people say Vince is gonna ignore this guy. Yeah.
It you know, look, they put the belt back on him. When they wanted to pull the plug, or you know, the plans changed for Jinder, and on the way out, he gave Jinder two amazing matches, right? Like, it's exceptional. He's exceptional. This is just tremendous. So a huge shout out to AJ Styles. And you want to know what? He might not be done. I mean, down to that Finn Balor match. You know that they had to slot in.
Sure.
He had to come off the road from South America.
Sure.
So we could get sick and wrestle
Finn
Balor.
Do some international travel for that one to happen, and it was awesome. So yeah, I think you're right. Like, we're also seeing somebody. It's kind of a rare thing in wrestling. It's hard for all the stars to align like this, where he comes from doing so many amazing things in these other companies and on Impact, and then like Impact, you could say like, man, that kind of buried him in a lot of people's eyes for a long time. Like, nobody knew really who he was. Because not that many people watch Impact, right?
Yeah.
And then New Japan, obviously, he's a massive star there, and he's doing amazing things. But, like, at the height of his talent at the right age, like, he's basically as good as he ever could be. Well, maybe he'll get better. I don't know. Like, he seems like he could still get better. He comes to WWE and is put in the spotlight, like, immediately. And then just shines. Like, you can't deny him. Even if Vince was in the back going, he's too small. No.
Yeah.
Get Braun and Roman. You can't, like, the crowd just won't let it happen, right?
Well, but also it's like, look,
on the situation.
They put him in a match with Roman, and he made Roman look like $1 million, right?
Yep.
They put him in a match with Jinder, made Jinder look like $1 million. He's a dude that just makes your product better because he's
not going
to
have a bad match ever.
That's it.
And that's crazy. That's like, everybody has a stinker. I don't remember that one. If he had it, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But I think he's just the right choice at this point. We'll see who wins 1-900's best male wrestler next year.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on. This I think 2018 is going to be insane. And it's going to be tough to top what 2017 gave us, because it was what a time. What a time to be a wrestler.
What a time,
right?
To be alive with you and yours and me and mine. Willie, I'll tell you what, we don't even have time for a philosophical question.
No,
we don't have time
for
a melodica.
We haven't done a show in a while.
So. We haven't done. All right, so we're back, baby. Willie, where can people find you?
Check me out on Twitter. I am at Willie Dills. You can also find me streaming on twitch.tv/Willie Dills. I play a lot of Hearthstone there, but you'll be seeing some World of Warcraft and other random-ish games like Eternal and other card games and things like that, too. So come check it out. Come hang. We always end up talking wrestling inevitably on my streams, too, because it just happens. In fact, I think at the end of my last stream, as I was getting ready to shut it down, I just randomly decided to pull up a bunch of PWG videos and start watching those. And we watched them together. It was great. So, yeah,
oh
if you're
God.
A wrestling fan or a Hearthstone fan, or you just want to hang out, come on by twitch.tv/WillieDills.
Come on by, everybody. And also, you can hear me. Playing the role of Willie Dills on the Angry Chicken last week.
Right.
So that was a super fun time. And you can follow me otherwise, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. That is where I am streaming every single day, including always talking about wrestling. Whenever you want some wrestling talk, oh, go ahead and hit me up right there, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. However, that brings us to the end of our show. I want to thank Willie Dills. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for viewing. I want to thank the patrons. The road to Wrestle Kingdom begins right now. We will see you next week.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.